Welcome to the Lions Table Podcast, where we talk about government contracting. Have a seat and join us. Today we're talking about the utilization of cooperative purchasing contracts for public procurement at the state and local level. We're going to define cooperative purchasing and talk about the benefits available to public agencies like municipalities and school districts, also opportunities for providers of products and services, and why all of us as taxpayers should be paying attention to how public right. dollars are spent. I'm April. This is my husband, Scott, my Hello. Business partner. And today we are going to have a very special guest. Scott, you want to introduce our guest?
Yeah. Today, we're honored to have Rex Robbins here. He is the Associate Director of Supplier Development at Omnia Partners, and he is our guest this morning. Welcome, Rex, and thank you for being here.
Thrilled to be here. Honored to be here.
Morning, Rex. So, Rex, I'd love it if you could just take a minute to introduce yourself, tell us about you and who Omnia Partners is, how long you've been with them, and what role you play there.
Absolutely. So I'm the Associate Director of Supplier Development. I'm on the Supplier Development team, which is a bit of a tiered structure in terms of working with a handful of different suppliers. But really, my job is to go in, strategize with my portfolio of suppliers, help them identify how they can best utilize their contracts and our resources for them to really take advantage of the cooperative contract that they have that they can sell into those public entities that you're mentioning. I've been there for about 2 years.
Okay, perfect. So we're going to need to let our audience know, for those who don't already, what is cooperative purchasing and how does that differ from the traditional multi-bid procurement process?
Absolutely. So the big difference really is a matter of time. So everything that has to do with public purchasing has to go through a certain level of hoops jumping through, right? You got to cross your T's, dot your I's, and that really boils down to what the state mandates, what the federal government mandates. All of those rules kind of change across the board depending on what state and what vertical that you're operating within, even as far as what you're selling. So the simplest way to keep things moving quickly is to utilize a cooperative contract. It already has that RFP completed. It's already been put out to bid. It's already got competitive pricing and value adds. All of the things that a standard RFP process is going to identify and really kind of vet out for a customer, which would be the public agency, and really making sure that that customer is utilizing those taxpayer dollars effectively. That process has already been completed. So instead of going through that process, which could take anywhere from, on average, 7 to 24 months, you're looking at some smaller ones that may go quicker and make that agency liable for some audits and some scrutiny from the state, all the way up to those larger ones that can take many thousands of dollars of funds out of the actual end cost for what they're trying to purchase. It can have a big effect on the end result. So in order to save some of that money, in order to save the time, the people, resources, everything, you're able to push things through a cooperative agreement, make that purchase easier on you, the seller, on the customer, and everybody in between.
Awesome. So public agencies like school districts, municipalities, city and county entities can buy products and services from pre-approved, pre-vetted, pre-priced vendors by utilizing these cooperative purchasing contracts. This saves taxpayer dollars by streamlining the processes, like you said, for public agencies, because they don't have to expend the resources developing their own solutions, writing their own RFPs, performing their own product and solution research, evaluating proposals, and so forth.
Absolutely. And it even extends past that. I mean, there are some agencies, like I think of, the reservations, anybody that has any sort of federal funding or grants coming through, those dollars are subject to an audit. So whether it's a private school, it could be a private university, it could be, a nonprofit, so a YMCA or a church. These are all agencies that are going to be able to utilize those tax dollars to make a purchase through what we call a competitively solicited and publicly awarded agreement. That's not going to mean anything to anybody on the day-to-day, but for someone in procurement, that tells them that this has already been vetted, it's already meeting the compliance needs, and it already has those value adds with cheaper pricing.
Right. So it's a legitimate vehicle that they can use rather than having to go out to the public market themselves. And one of the biggest problems we see with that, you know, traditional multi-bid process is the public agency is then beholden to the lowest bidder, which sometimes isn't
not
the best
always
value.
In their best interest.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you think too, it's there are people on procurement who are going in and really just kind of going through a process that they've been told to follow. They may not know the ins and outs of what they're purchasing. They may not know the ins and outs of what the state's allowing them to do. They've just been told. I hear more often than not someone saying, we have to go out for three bids, which isn't always the case. Certain situations it will be, but you can still utilize this contract to provide that bid without having to have a lengthy RFP response or even going through an entire RFP. So it really does streamline everything from the customer to the end user to the supplier that's selling it in making this something that's beneficial for everybody involved.
So Rex, talk a little bit about the cooperative purchasing space. How many companies are out there like Omnia? Are they all national? Are there regional co-ops?
They vary all over the place. So you can run into national co-ops. Big ones being there would be Omnia and Sourcewell more than anything. You have some of the more state regulated ones that are going to be like NASPO and things like that. There are some that are very regionalized and local, like Texas has Byboard. I know E&I is another one that I hear quite often. So there are different competitors in the space that provide different resources or at least go about the business in different ways. And they range from heavily engaged, I'd say Omnia being the most engaged, to even going back to the most recent acquisition that we had, which was NCPA, where it may have been just, you know, 200 people within an office who, once a contract was awarded, they said, good luck to you. That was really all the support that you would get, right? So there's a very big difference in just how much support you're going to get with a cooperative, and knowing which one that you're going to work with and knowing what territory you're focused in is pretty key in making that successful.
Yeah. And that being said, it's actually really important when companies are looking at partnering with cooperatives, go through that matrix. You want to look and see that cooperative, like he just said, offers support, but is also working within the guidelines that actually works best for your business, and not all of them are going to present themselves in that way.
Right.
Exactly.
So yeah. I'd love to talk a little bit about why businesses would want to consider this procurement method. If you're a seller of products and services, I mean, I would imagine I know actually that this is an enormous market and that there's a tremendous amount of opportunity. I think that cooperative purchasing procurement is expanding pretty consistently and aggressively year over year. So let's just have a discussion about what businesses should be looking for.
Well, looking at the market, talking about the numbers, the public spend from the state and local government in the United States is, I think it was $1.6 trillion for 2024. That's a huge number, and a very small portion of that is actually being utilized with the cooperative contracts for procurement of products and services. That number has grown exponentially over the past 10 years. And
I was going to say, Rex, what are you seeing in terms of future trends? What does that trajectory look like?
It's always been going up. I mean, I think we had a study done by McKinley back in 2020. It was a 4 or 5 year study. And like Scott, to your point, with there being 1.6 trillion now, it was only 1.2 trillion in spending back then.
Right.
And that doesn't sound like a big jump, but when you're talking trillions of dollars, it's a pretty sizable difference. And as far as how much purchasing is going through, even back then, it was roughly 5% of it was being utilized through cooperative spending. And that number has continued to grow. One of the slides we always love talking about when we're taking a supplier kind of through our history is just the exponential growth that Omnia has seen. And it's funny to see that we really kind of started off in the early 2000s, just prior to the market crash, and Omnia flourished, right? So there's a lot of opportunities where when purchasing or when the economy starts to really not have the purchasing power to make these decisions and to get things flowing, it can be difficult, especially because they're going to start looking for layoffs or looking where they can save that money. The first people that typically go is procurement, and not everyone's knocking down the door to get a procurement job. So
right.
If you don't have the people in place, place to do the work, if you don't have the expertise to know how to do it effectively so you're not getting audited and getting in trouble with the state, it can be a very scary process for an agency to go out and purchase. And this takes that burden off of them immensely.
Yeah, it is a it's such an acceleration of the process of procurement. In traditional multi-bid environment, contractors are trying to determine the lowest price needed to win an award. No one wants to try and outbid an inexperienced contractor that might not even price the job accurately. By leveraging the power of the cooperative contracts, vendors can operate at fair margins that are conducive to sustainable growth while still saving time and money for the public agencies.
So, I mean, that means that the contractor is able to make a reasonable, fair, like you said, growth-based margin. So there's actually more money going to the contractor, and the public agency is getting more bang for their buck as well, just because of the streamlining of the processes. And all of that is the ethical spending of public funds.
Yeah, it's not necessarily in the public agency's best interest to have the pencils sharpened so much in the case of businesses trying to provide products and services, and the fact that we've seen over and over the omission of scopes of work that were needed to be performed in there, and that the contractors themselves sometimes find themselves in a position where they're unable to perform these contracts
for the price that they agreed to.
And growth is what we're looking for.
Right.
It's growth of the public agency. It's growth of the businesses that the public agency is doing work with, growth within our communities, and it's critical for all of that.
Right. And how often have we, you know, been talking to a public agency like a school district where they've told us that they did go through the traditional multi-bid process? They went with the lowest bidder and, yeah, they didn't fully understand the scope, or they were, you know, just an inexperienced contractor. They ended up making a mess, and then they have to spend more money to hire somebody else to come in and clean up that mess. Not to mention, again, the time involved. Now we're delaying that process even further.
Yeah, I love the fact that through the co-op, that the public agency is actually more in a position where they're partnering with vendors. So when you've actually got a partner that you're working with, and they're charged with developing, you know, scopes that are associated with the needs of the public agency, it becomes honestly, just what is the best relationship that you can absolutely make for the public agency, for the spend of the public dollars. And we're seeing that kind of growth happening every day more and more, with public agencies understanding their ability to use co-ops and how that's saving so much time.
Rex, what does the life cycle of a contract look like? How do these contracts get issued? Where does that come from? Can you talk a little about that?
They can be all over the place. So I think of situations where, you know, even like with NASBO, sometimes those agreements are a little longer than what people would like. Typically, you want them to be around 5 to 8 years, something around there. They're not too long. Once you get past that 8-year point, you start to worry about whether the pricing or even the scope of the work is flexible enough to allow for changes. So as you're going through these contracts, identifying just how long you're going to have them, I know for most of our cooperative agreements, they're typically going to be about 3 years. That gives you time to get the program up and running. It gives you time to really kind of have an opportunity to sell it. And then there are options to renew them either by a year or multi-years. And I've even seen situations with NCPA, for example, where, you know, we come in as the new owner of those contracts and are able to say there are ways we could have made this better. So they may turn those contracts early. They may not choose not to renew at all. They may put new contracts out. But the biggest thing here is that you have that opportunity to resolicit those contracts once they come to term, so there's no lapse of coverage. You mentioned even going through those RFPs. I mean, I know I coach at a high school. If I had to do an RFP every time I wanted to get pencils or pens for my students, I'd be pulling my hair out. On the flip side of that, if I'm doing an RFP for something large construction-based, I want to make sure I'm getting the most bang for my buck. And if the RFP, if I'm someone in procurement that can't perform that RFP or doesn't know the scope that I need for it, that can take a long time. It can take a lot of funds. And to your point, Scott, it's going to pull a lot of the money out of the final dollar. So it really is trying to figure out how to get that contract out there and make sure that it survives the length of that contract and people are able to utilize it to its fullest.
So I know that each contract has to be sponsored by a public agency. What does that look like?
It varies. So I always use an example. There are some cooperatives out there that are a little bit more involved in the process, which can have some difficulties for you from a compliancy standpoint. With us, Omnia specifically, we're very agnostic in being involved. We're a resource for the suppliers, but we're also a consultant for the lead agency. So any national cooperative will put verbiage in that RFP to make it national scope. But outside of that, there's not a whole lot that Omnia would do other than say you may want to utilize this verbiage in the title of the RFP, or you may want to include this sort of information so that you can have, you know, there may be funds coming from disaster relief or something like that that you want to put towards the spend within that contract scope. There are a bunch of little intricacies that go into it, but as far as determining what that contract looks like, we help identify the scope because that really is the hardest part. And then it's hosted by a lead agency. And Omni is the one that pioneered the lead agency model, which is where a public entity will put out the RFP. Omnia will include that national cooperative agreement information on there. And then when it comes out, we act as a sales resource for the supplier.
Right. And one of the things that I love about Omnia is the fact that, like you said, in terms of support and resources, you guys have dedicated teams of salespeople that are working on both member development and supplier development. So you're working with these public agencies to help them assess their needs and then match them with awarded vendors to get the best products and services available to them.
Absolutely. Yeah. The sales teams, and again, that's something that's unique to Omnia. I don't think there are many cooperatives out there that are going to have a dedicated sales team, but everything that we're doing is just acting as that big connector. So even as far as our sales team is concerned, they're really more like brand ambassadors. And it's asking the question of what purchasing needs do you have? If I'm talking to somebody in procurement, they may know that they need, you know, the HVAC system isn't working and they need support with it, but they don't know the ins and outs of it. They don't know if they need a new system. They don't know if they need a repair. They don't know how expansive that's going to be. So they have to be able to pull someone in that's really impartial to the opportunity and being able to say, this is what you need. And that can take a lot of time and money too.
Yeah, putting some numbers to it as far as number of members, public agencies that are out there that are actually associated with cooperative purchasing contracts. Right now, Rex, what does that number look like?
As far as the spend through the agreements?
No, the actual number of agencies that are using this.
Oh, I don't know, for Omnia, we have over 90,000 agencies within the public sector, and that's all over the place. I don't even think that goes as deep as the child locations that don't have their own purchasing power, and they're leaning on a higher power, whether that's a nearby university, a larger city, municipality, or even the state.
That being said, the sales staff that is in the Omnia portfolio, they are leveraging what it's 1,100 vendors to that that list of public agencies that are out there. So it is creating a bridge better than any other platform that we've seen out there for making public agencies aware that they have cooperative purchasing,
right,
that they can save money by utilizing these systems. And again, like I said, Omni is kind of doing that better than anybody is right now with that sales staff integration with the number of vendors that they have.
Right. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, I have a product or service and I would love to be able to approach public agencies, especially, you know, in my own community where I can have an impact with the, you know, schools that my kids are going to or in the community that I live, this sounds fabulous. I want to be able to approach them and, you know, let them know that they can contract with me on a no bid basis. You know, how does a business find those contracts? Mm-hmm. So like Rex said, these are mostly term contracts. So if you're a mechanical company, there might not be an RFP put out for mechanical services for, you know, a period of time until that term expires. So what you need to do is be watching these co-ops, and again, look to see if there's regional ones in your area that you can be involved with. but also the national platform contractors. I know that Omnia has a registration system where you can just register with your email address and they'll send you a notification anytime there's a release for a new RFP. You can watch out for those and then respond in that way.
Taking that one step further to look on the co-op at the vendors that are currently there. And if you are a supplier of products and service and there is a vendor who is currently doing that within the contract, it actually makes very good sense for you to approach them as well and see how you can support that vendor as well in your public, in your community and the public agencies that are immediately within your geographic reach, because that might be an assistance for that vendor that's there who may not have a foothold in that area. So there's accommodations for those types of things throughout the contract as well.
So like anything else, there's going to be do's and don'ts, right? So if you are, you know, a business that's looking at this avenue or vehicle for revenue generation, make sure that you're researching, you know, programs and co-ops that align with what your business is doing. I mean, Omnia, Rex, I think, you know, you could probably speak to the wide range of products and services that you're supporting. And I'm sure it's everything from, you know, Chromebooks to building supplies and, I don't know, throw out some of your favorites.
Oh, Lord. I mean, I've heard of some. There was the really one I like is there's a company called Mamava that does lactation pods. So last year there was some legislation that said that lactation pods had to be available to the public every so often. So airports, hospitals, different areas had to have them, and they got a contract and were able to absolutely just, you know, blow through the country offering up these lactation pods everywhere that needed them. So sometimes the legislation can really work in your favor to say, hey,
right,
you know, there's locations that don't have any sort of location for, you know, a mother to go, you know, take care of her child. And now all of a sudden they're all across the place just because there's one legislation that came through and the easiest way to purchase was through this agreement.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah. That's a great example.
So if you're a business out there, obviously, if you're going to respond to one of these, make sure that you have a competitive, compliant proposal. Obviously, you're going to have to submit your, you know, comprehensive, call it catalog of products and services with your price model, because all of that pricing and everything has to be established up front in order for the contract to be compliant with all of the applicable procurement law. And of course, like anything else, relationships are everything. Make sure that you're networking. I'm sure that there are events that, you know, Rex, that you could recommend where there's networking opportunities with Omnia. You know, there's got to be events that are handled in different locations, or maybe it's a matter of partnering with local salespeople in your area or in your vertical.
Yeah, so if you're attending any of the trade shows, I mean, it's certainly nice to get in front of those customers, but I think the bottom line is you need to understand who it is that you're going after and how far that scope reaches. I can tell you right now, I have a friend that works for a security company. They do a lot of security in Nashville. They wanted to try and get an agreement, and I let them know Omnia may not be the best choice if you only are working exclusively in Nashville. They're probably going to look for something a little bit more expansive. You also want to make sure when you're going through those RFPs, if you know that there are certain laws and regulations, I can give an example with the University of Knoxville. They explicitly state which ones they will not work with. So if you know you're going to go out and get a contract and you're primarily wanting to use that with higher ed, those universities may have some different rules and regulations in terms of who they're willing and able to work with, and that'll affect the decision that you're making in terms of who you're going after. Even as far as filling out the RFP, make sure you know what the do's and don'ts are there. I mean, there are situations where I've seen suppliers go in and there may be some aspect of the pricing file that wasn't included. You automatically lose because of that. So make sure that you're keeping as detailed of an RFP response as possible. And then again, too, anything that you're selling can be offered on that contract. So if there's something right now, I have a situation where there were some suppliers that were looking for new agreements. There may be a situation where they sell IT or there's an aspect of their business that's IT, but their primary business may be parking or something else. They can respond to an IT contract, fill the initial scope of it, and then have everything else added as a value add, which can also be really helpful if you don't have something coming out soon. So if you don't have an RFP, you can do it that route.
Smart.
Let's talk about some of the success stories. that are out there, because Rex, you've had exposure to a lot of businesses that are utilizing the contracts and providing services. And can you just give us a real world example that stands out for you?
Yeah. So I've got a couple. I mean, the big ones that typically stand out are situations where either you have a sales team that hasn't utilized these contracts before and they're going in and they may have been pounding on the door for a large customer for some time and it's just not going anywhere. You can throw that Hail Mary out there and say, we have a cooperative contract. Is that something that you guys would be interested in? And I've seen situations where suppliers that never wanted to touch these contracts are all of a sudden winning a lot of business just because they threw it out there as a last chance opportunity to win the business. I've also seen situations where we spoke a little bit earlier, if that RFP goes through, if the agency performs their own RFP, it could take anywhere, if it's 9 to 12 months, anywhere from $30,000 to $130,000, right? A lot of money coming out of that RFP that could be going into you as the supplier, as the seller's pocket. And for me as the taxpayer, I certainly don't want all my money going towards that. So when they step into these situations, they have an RFP completed, they're doing the scope of work, they're doing the business, and it ends up falling flat. Well, now you're 6 months into a project that's supposed to take 8 months. You don't really have the funds to do another RFP. You're already well above due with what the budget was. What do you do next? Well, if any supplier that steps in with a cooperative contract is kind of going to be the superhero with a cape on. It's you're stepping in and saying, look, you don't have to do another RFP. We've already got it completed. And I have had situations where suppliers have stepped in after a project has failed that they didn't win. And they end up getting that business just simply because they had the backup plan that worked best for the customer.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent.
It happens all the time. What about public agencies that have maybe, you know, found success or changed the way they do things or you know, been able to capture savings and then utilize it in some other place that's needed?
So a lot of different opportunities. I can think of some with the university actually that was running into some issues with their procurement department, and they've actually utilized these cooperative agreements to kind of pull the departments together and help them understand what's compliant. So if there's an agency that's going about their purchasing and they're not going about it in the best way and they get audited, the state's going to have their thumb on them for the foreseeable future moving forward. And that puts a lot of extra strain on every process that they're doing. So again, I think of situations where, like, let's say you're at a university, whether the, you know, the air system is out, so it's getting hot over there, whether there are students that need certain equipment for courses and classes, if they can't make those purchases quickly enough for those students, well, then they're going to be subject to a lot more legal trouble and things like that. So there have been situations where an agency is really just kind of looking for how they can make something work after they've already been kind of slapped on the wrist. And if they go through the cooperative contract route, they're really able to just kind of point at that contract number and say, that's the one we utilized. And then it's on the state to go and kind of do their due diligence and check out that it worked. But there's agencies all across the board that are already kind of in hot water and utilize a cooperative agreement to be able to push business through and really kind of come back in good graces with the state because they know it's already been competitively solicited and publicly awarded.
Right.
And we've talked about some of the things that stand Omnia apart from some of the other cooperative contracts that are out there. Give me kind of a recap. I want you to take an opportunity to talk about Omnia in itself and what makes it the, I'm going to say just straight up, the best co-op that's out right now.
So the big thing is we've been in the business for a while. And again, we pioneered that lead agency model. So we've taken it from this approach of we're not necessarily selling anything, we're educating. So for Omnia, the resources that we provide suppliers also extend to customers. So we have the microsite, which I always kind of go back to these three big pillars. You have a dedicated landing page on our website that houses all of your contract documentation for you. Everything from the initial RFP to the award letters to the evaluations and everything thereafter. So if there's an agency that has questions, you can quite literally just drop a link and have them run with their due diligence and checking that out. And then it gets even more involved. There's a multitude of different things that we do from an analytical side. We have a lead generation tool that houses information on all of the agencies. We have information in terms of what the spends and the market trends are looking like across the country. If there's something where a new individual steps into a state role and they're maybe trying to swing some weight around and they're wanting to kind of hold some of the purchasing moving forward, or they're wanting to kind of really be involved in that process, they may push back on how people have been purchasing previously. And if that went through co-ops, it may slow things down. But again, that's where Omni is actively engaged with those customers to help keep them educated, aware, and really even going in with them and looking at some of the spend and being able to say, you guys are spending this much on, you know, batteries and cleaning equipment and this construction project, there may be options for us to bundle something that you're able to get from either multiple suppliers, or there's a better deal out there with another supplier that you're probably more likely to, you know, be engaged with or even have a good relationship with.
Yeah. Another thing that I love about the Omnia platform is the Opus platform that is made available to public agencies that are members of Omnia. Can you talk to that just a little bit?
Yeah, Opus is a massive, massive push with us. We have an Opus focus right now. So it is all about making sure that agencies are aware of how they can purchase in a compliant way, but also doing it through a single site. I know we've got, you know, there's stuff going on right now where I was doing some shopping earlier this week. I like that I can get on one website, I can order a bunch of stuff, and then I can check out. That's difficult when you're purchasing from 10 different suppliers and they all have their own kind of checkout systems. So Opus is something that Omnia has really pioneered to be able to pull multiple suppliers in. And it either has a tile set on there that customers can go and look at, they can get connected with the contract, they can reach out and have an inquiry sent directly to that supplier through the platform, or they even have the opportunity to purchase through the tool. So you can go click on 10 different suppliers, anything from cleaning equipment to furniture to clothing to construction equipment, and then you can actually purchase all of those in the tool. So you have one login, one invoice, and one checkout, but those invoices are going to go to each different supplier independent of one another. So we're trying to make it easier for those within the public purchasing department really to just get their job done and then move on to whatever the next opportunity is that they can support.
Yeah, it really is a one-stop shopping.
Yeah, we've been describing it like an Amazon for public agencies where they can just go in and search for what they need and click, click, click and buy it and have, you know, product shipped to them or whatever the case is.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's a huge edge. I love, too, the transparency, and I just want to put a fine point on that. Literally every contract that is awarded, from the RFP to the response from the contractor, their proposal response, all of the amendments to that contract, the award information, all of that is made public and available right on Omnia's site. So it's fully transparent. Anybody, you know, member of the public, again, we're all taxpayers. This is all our money that's being spent.
Yep.
So knowing that the process is transparent and this is the most ethical public spend, and that this is the scenario where there's the highest likelihood of a public agency getting what they need at a good price from a qualified, competent contractor, I just can't think of a better way to ensure that that happens.
Yeah, I agree.
So per usual, we are all about giving our listeners actionable steps and, you know, call it homework, but we're really trying to connect the dots for people so that we can give them tasks that they can do today to make a difference in this space. So the first thing is to research co-ops, national co-ops and ones that might be in your region, and register for notifications of solicitations. And then make sure that you are reaching out to ask about upcoming or maybe unpublished opportunities. Look for procurement conferences that might be in your area to attend. Look at the sponsoring agencies that are used by various co-ops. You can reach out to them and ask if there's opportunities to help them. Omnia's website is a wealth of information. They do an amazing job of explaining this whole process from each party's point of view. There are a ton of resources there in terms of flyers that are specific to individual market sectors, like specific to the education sector or municipal. If you know, you need to look at success stories or case studies, there's a lot of information there.
Or just Cooperative Purchasing 101.
Yeah, I mean, that's really my favorite page. That's where I tell people to start if they haven't had exposure. That 101 page is amazing.
And it helps public agencies get a very clear picture of what types of services that they can actually get if they're not aware of it. And it helps them to connect the dots in how to get there.
Rex, are we able to take a couple of Omnia flyers and link them in the comments? And specifically, I'm thinking of the PDF version of that Co-op 101 page, and then the flyer that shows the traditional bid scenario versus the co-op model in kind of a visual representation of the streamline of the process. Can we put those in
Absolutely.
The comments?
Okay.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Great. Excellent. Well, I think we're good for today. That was a lot of information, Rex. I really just thank you so much for your time this morning, and more importantly for the partnership. Obviously, Lion National and Omnia are enjoying a partnership right now, and you've been wonderful to work with. And we're just so grateful for your expertise and your time.
Oh, thrilled to be here. Like I said, no one's doing it better than Lion National. So for anybody that is getting a contract, understand that it's not a magic wand. You still got to put in the legwork, but no one has done a better job than Lion National in stepping in and knowing how this really does help those taxpayers, though it helps the customer, it helps everybody in between. And the fact that you guys are partnering with these other suppliers to pull them in and really give them an opportunity to sell is huge. So again, I want to thank you guys for the effort that y'all put into it, because it is second to none.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's all about, I mean, our mission, we talk about it over and over again, feeding families, and this, you've really given us the opportunity to expand that ripple effect and have an impact, not just in our community, but with people across the country.
Yep.
And it
coast
just makes our job an absolute pleasure. So thanks, everyone, for joining us. Please find us on LinkedIn, Lion National Corp. Scott and I both are on there personally. Go to lionnational.com, omniapartners.com, and find the resources, connect with us. And if you have any questions, please post them in the comments. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.